With the end of Parshas Emor, we have after the Moadim, after the holidays, we have the inyan of keeping the light, the eternal flame in the Beis HaMikdash by the menorah. And then we have the idea of the Lechem HaPanim, the showbread. Let's take a look at these psukim. Source 1a, you shall find flour and make it into 12 loaves. Each loaf shall be 2 tenth ephah. You shall place them in 2 stacks, 6 in each stack, upon the pure table before Hashem. You shall put pure frankincense on each stack, and it shall be remembrance for the bread, a fire offering for Hashem. Then in Pasuchet, each and every Shabbat, he shall arrange them before Hashem continually, from the children of Israel, as an eternal covenant, as a bris olam. It shall belong to Aaron and his sons. They shall eat it in a holy place, for it's most holy for him, from the 5 fire offerings of Hashem, an eternal decree. And as Chazal tells us, this is source number 2. The table and the breads are described also in Parshat and Shemot. Every Friday, 12 loaves, large loaves, were baked. They were placed on the table on the Shabbat, as described below, and the old breads were divided among the Kohanim and Eden. Miraculously, the breads remained fresh all week. So even though they were over a week old, they're baked Erev Shabbos, they're put on Shabbos, and then they're taken out the following Shabbos. So they're 9-day-old bread, they remain fresh. The very next part in the Chumash is, the son of an Israelite went out, and he was the son of an Egyptian woman among the children of Israel. The son of the Israelite woman pronounced a name and blasphemed, so they brought him before Moshe, and ultimately this Makalel they cursed. And the question that the Mefarshim ask is, what's the connection between these two stories? So my friends, we're going to really work on 2 levels here today. We've dealt with this connection before. We'll look at it again from a slightly different perspective today. Our first and foremost question is to understand what the Lechem HaPanim, what these 12 loaves of bread were all about. What's their eternal message for us? And again, most specifically, it's described as a Brit Olam, as an eternal covenant. Well, what is this eternal covenant that is connected with this Lechem HaPanim? It's a Brit Olam. It's eternal. Do we have the Lechem HaPanim today? Do we have these 12 loaves of bread today? And the second question, as we mentioned, is what's the Smichus Inyanim, the connection between these 2 stories? So Rashi brings us the connection based on the Medrash between the 2 stories. And he says in source number 3, Meichan Yatzah, the son of an Israelite, Vayetze, he went out. So he went out connected to that which came before, the Lechem HaPanim. Lil Eg Vamar B'yom HaShabbat Yarichenu. He made fun of this halacha. He says, Derech HaMelech L'chol Pat Chama B'chol Yom Shema Pat Sonenet Shel Tisha Yamin. Give me a break. You mean to tell me that bread is still fresh? You mean to tell me this is the way to serve God, to have 9-day-old bread that the Kohanim are eating? Like, give me a break. So, and he cursed God. So, the Chochman and Matzpun raises the question, V'anu omdim yishtaim, ech nitpaso to ish l'tip shut kazon. I mean, give me a break. How silly can you get? First of all, the bread was fresh, and everyone could see its freshness, right? We'll see that they would bring out the Lechem HaPanim for the Olei Regalim on the 3 major festivals, 3 pilgrimages, and they saw the steam rising. Everyone saw how it was fresh bread. How could he deny this? And the Chibishvil Zetz Harich Lulad Leg Al Divrei Torah, like, and this is worthy of pronouncing the curse and cursing out God. I mean, it absolutely makes no sense. And obviously, we've discussed this before. It needs more attention. We're giving it today. We'll touch on it. We have to understand what was the mindset of this fellow, this individual whose father was a Mitzri, mother was Jewish. What's really concerning him? I'd like to try to take a look at the Lechem HaPanim and its messages for us on 2 levels. And really, the distinction between the 2 levels will present, the 2 levels right now, will be Ha'emet Dovar on the one hand that will develop, and then Rav Hirsch on the other hand. And those will, Mirtz Hashem, be the 2 approaches. Let's take a look at them, and then we'll develop them, Mirtz Hashem. Source 2, Pasuchet, Bris Olam, an eternal covenant. The loaves are likened to the Shabbos, which is also called an eternal covenant. The Shabbat covenant forbids work and ordains that one enjoys food without worrying where his livelihood will come from. Because the Shabbat brings its own store of blessing for the following week, so too the showbread symbolizes that God provides prosperity first servant. So the one idea of the Lechem Apanim is that it was prosperity for Klal Yisrael, just like Shabbos provides, the Lechem Apanim provides, and that will be level number one in Mirtz Hashem. Level number two is Rav Hirsch, where he talks about, in source number four, on Shabbos, the Jewish national community, through its representative, the Kohen, places, quote-unquote, its bread and its incense on the table, the sanctuary of the Torah. This is to signify before Hashem continually that although the Shabbos teaches us, He, as the Creator and Master of the universe, is the Father and King of all mankind, the fate of Israel is subject to special providence. And he goes on, this covenant was established for all time through these great acts, and is kept at all times through the providence of God, who watches over Israel's fate, Tamid. Israel, in turn, is to indicate that it acknowledges this covenantal providence and will always act in accordance with the spirit of the covenant, entrusted its faith to God's providence and reason and guidance. This is why it's called Lechem Apanim, bread that is placed before God, and that is the object of its special attention. It's the bread that symbolizes Hashem's special providence. So we understand both of them are Hashem's special providence. One focuses in on the specific aspect of parnasa, of sustenance, and the other focuses more on the relationship between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's try to develop these two ideas, the Netziv on the one hand, and Rav Hirsch on the other hand, bring this lesson for our lives and see on each level, very briefly, what was it that the that this Mikalo, this person who cursed, what was he making fun of? What didn't sit well with him? So, beginning on the first level, we have Rabbi Frand in the Power of the Vort, and he noticed in Midrashic literature, bread, quote-unquote, is not merely a baked compound of flour, water, yeast, and salt. Bread symbolizes the sustenance we get from Hashem. And he continues by saying, Chazal teach us that the Lechem Apanim provided us with the merit to receive parnasa, sustenance from Hashem. This is why the Torah states that the Lechem Apanim had to be on the Shulchan constantly, to the extent that the two pairs of Kohanim would enter the Mishkan together. And as one pair of Kohanim removed the old loaves, the other one inserted the new ones. So the Shulchan would never lay bare to ensure that Klal Yisrael's parnasa would never be disturbed and would always be a constant flow. Rav Pam speaks about the idea of how the Shulchan itself was the place. The table where the showbread was placed was in itself a symbolism of Parnassa. He first notes the Gemara that says that the consuming even a tiny morsel from these breads made the comb fully satiated, another obvious miracle. How could these 12 loaves, six on either side, well, to talk about why were they divided six and six, why not just a stack of 12? There were a lot of Kohanim who had to eat from this bread. All they needed to do was take a little piece, and that satisfied them, right? Sometimes you come into Shabbos, particularly on the summer Shabbos, you don't have a chance to eat. You nibble the food, tomechai mzachu, but you don't really eat, you just taste, which is part of the mitzvah of preparing for Shabbos. And you come into Shabbos starving, and you just eat challah, challah, challah. By the time next course comes, he's like, I'm full, I can't eat anymore, right? There, all you had to eat was a little bit of the bread, and that was enough for them. The constant presence of Lechem Panim on the Shulchan was a heavenly channel through which parnasa and material success flowed to the nation. That's Ramban on Shmuel Kaf Hei Kaf Gimel. The relationship of the Shulchan to financial prosperity explains the symbolism behind the measurements of the Shulchan itself. The length of the Shulchan was 2 cubits. Its width was 1 cubit, while its height was 1.5 cubits. The Chafetz Chaim explains that the length and width were in full cubits, because a Jew must believe that whatever level of parnasa is decreed on him by Hashem, that is what he has. He may have a complete parnasa, whether it has a lot or little. He may wish that he had more, but he must realize that his exact needs are custom tailored for him, for which he should be grateful. But there's also a symbolism behind the half a cube measurement, because a Jewish table should have spiritual elevation to it. It's not just I eat and I'm full, I must strive to make this table holy in front of Hashem. What do we have today in terms of Shabbos and in terms of the Lechem Apanim? So if we understand that the Lechem Apanim, the Shulchan, was the place of bracha, so now we can explain that connection to Shabbos itself. The Torah Semes Rabbi Libela Eger mentions in Source 8, Shekol Maaseh Yom HaShabbat Kaful, Omro Kaful, Shiro Kaful, Korbano Kaful, everything connected with Shabbos is double. right? Mizmor, Shir, Leoma Shabbos, the double song, Mizmor and Shir. We brought two of everything. The lechem, we have shtei lechem, we have two loaves of bread, right? The lechem mishnah, everything on Shabbos is paired. Why? So he says, V'hainu shibiyom Shabbos nishma makor makol. Shabbos is the source of everything. V'chol davar yishlo makor la'ila, and everything we have is a source above. L'chein nichpal kol davar, that's why everything is double. Hainu ima makor de la'ila, v'lechem av sidur lechem apanim. U'be'ofen azeh, shtayim marachot shal shei shei shal marachot, b'tvei shibishabat nishma amakor shal kol shei shimei ha'shavua. We know that everything is double on Shabbos because it's really a reflection of what's found in Shamayim, and we're able to draw that blessing from heaven. Therefore, we have not one pile of 12, but we have 6 and 6. Because everything has to reflect this aspect of doubleness, and the aspect of doubleness reminds us that it's not just what's down here. There is a mirror, there's a reflection where the real blessing comes from, which is above. Having stated that, he then mentions the Zohar Kadosh that we know that on Shabbos, from the bracha of Shabbos comes the blessing of all 6 days in the week. So what we have here, my friends, is we have that the Shulchan itself is the source of Parnassah. It was the source of sustenance for the Jewish people. We have Shabbos is the source of the sustenance of the Jewish people. So now it makes sense that when we have the Lechem upon him, eat it, the Kohanim ate it on Shabbos, it created, you know, it's like square to the, you know, X degree, it created all of the Parnassah, all of the sustenance for Klal Yisrael. How does this relate to our lives? So in the beautiful Sefer Shabbos Secrets, which is like by myself, like all the different, a lot of pictures, all the different reasons you wanted to know about so many of the different parts of the Shabbos meal, like what are the Hasidic insights to them, are found in this book. He says here, the Ari HaKadosh says, that we should arrange 12 challahs on the Shabbos table, as it says, Hashem said to me, this is the table that is before Hashem, Zeh HaShulchan Asher Lifnei Hashem. And remember, we spoke about a while back that when you put the challah cover on the table, which is like the final touch to the set table, you say this pasuk, Zeh HaShulchan Asher Lifnei Hashem, this is the table that is before Hashem, which is reminding us that our table is akin to the Shulchan, is akin to the Shulchan, the table that was in the Beis HaMikdash. The 12 challahs allude to the 12 loaves that were arranged on the table in the sanctuary. These miraculous challahs were baked every Friday for the Kohanim to eat. So the Arizal says, you taka have 12 rolls. And if you know people who are Mekubalim, they will have 12 little rolls that they make Hamotziah. Most people do not have 12 rolls. Instead, some form braided challahs out of 6 rolls of dough. So 2 challahs contain 12 rolls. Others bake the challahs in an elongated form, resembling the letter Vav, whose numeric value is 6. The 2 challah loaves then correspond to the number 12. So when we have our 2 challahs on the table that look, those long challahs, those represent the letter Vav, and 2 Vavs, 2 challahs, right? We have Lecha Mishnah, double challah, 6 plus 6, Vav plus Vav equals Yud Beis equals 12. And that reminds us of the 12 loaves that were found, 6 and 6, right? 2 loaves. One is the elongated Vav, the other elongated Vav represents these 6 loaves on one side and these 6 loaves on the other side. That is the lechem upon him on our table. Let's try to understand this, my friends, a little bit deeper and be able to really understand and tap into what this is all about. I'd like to take a look at a piece from Shilei Pinchas of 2 years ago on Parshas Emor. He says the following. He says that the Zohar Kadosh teaches that due to the lechem upon him placed on Source 9 on the Shulchan in the Beit HaMikdash, the entire world was afforded bountiful sustenance. It was as if the world was being nourished directly from above. Now, regarding the construction of the Shulchan, it states, you shall cover it with pure gold, and you shall make for it a golden wreath all around. Rashi comments, this is again in Parshas Truma, a golden wreath is a symbol of a royal crown. For the Shulchan expresses wealth and greatness. Apropos Rashi comment, the Ramban writes, this is the secret of the Shulchan. And so too the Shulchan within the Lechem Apanim function, it was a vehicle for bracha, for sustenance for all of Klal Yisrael. Targum Yonathan adds that it was placed in the northern side, for wealth comes from the north, and therefore we understand how all of this is connected to the Shulchan is this aspect of wealth. And the Targum Yonathan adds that the 12 loaves correspond to the Shvatim, to the 12 tribes. So, if that's the case, then we have to ask ourselves once again the question, if it corresponds to the 12 tribes, then now why not just stack it high, all 12? Why 6 on one side and 6 on the other? So he notes that this is similar to the ephod, to the stones on top of the breastplate, on top of the ephod, where you had 6 stones on one side and 6 stones on the other side. The Rokeach explains why the division of 6 stones on each side, and it would probably be similar to our situation here of 6 and 6, this exact division. And he says something very fascinating. He says, this is source number 10b, that when Yaakov Avinu was on his deathbed and he wanted to bless Klal Yisrael, he wanted to tell them when the end was going to be, right? Right to Legalos of Thakets. And Nistalka Mimeno Shechina, Hashem's presence left him. He says, oh my gosh, maybe one of my sons isn't holding that I thought he was. So the children say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Shema Yisrael, Yisrael, our father, listen. Hashem is one, he is our God, he is one. We're all together. Which Yaakov even responds, Baruch Shem Kivon Machusel Lamoed, praise is Hashem, whose glory and kingdom last forever. So the Rokeach notes that Shema Yisrael, Hashem, Elokeinu, Hashem, Echad, has 6 words to it. Baruch Shem Kivon Machusel Lamoed also has 6 words to it. So the 6 on either side represent this relationship between Yaakov Avinu and his sons, how in each side is affirming of this complete belief to Hashem. So when you have the Kohen having the 2 sets of 6 stones on either side, as well as the Lechem Apanim, 6 and 6, it's really affirming this relationship of Klal Yisrael, the Shvatim, the tribes, with Yaakov Avinu, with ultimately with Hashem, of complete affirmation and closeness to the One Above. That is what the 6 on either side represent. Now, if we're going to take this, just summarize what we have. So we've learned that the 12 Shvatim of Yisrael and the entire world were afforded ample sustenance and the merit of the Savoda. Thus, it would be apparent that the merit of the Lechem Mishnah, that we recite a motzi over at each Shabbos meal, we receive our livelihood and abundant bracha throughout the entire week. So if you have that the lechem upon him, the showbread, was the vehicle to bring down parnasa, to bring down sustenance for the whole week, it therefore makes sense that each and every one of us, when we have our mini lechem upon him, when we have our shtei lechem, when we have our 2 breads, when we have our lechem mishneh, which is like a mini model of that original 12 loaves of bread, if the original 12 loaves of bread was a bris olam, was a covenant forever, and was a covenant parnasa, and Shabbos is the covenant of also of our relationship with Hashem. So linking the two together, when we eat our challah on Shabbos, we have the ability to bring down sustenance and parnasa for the entire week. For as we mentioned, the whole week rests on the blessing of Shabbos, and the medium of that blessing is the challah. Let's take this one step deeper. There is a very beautiful idea that's brought in the name of the Rupshitzer Rebbe. When Yaakov Avinu was making those lentils for his father, and Esav comes from the field, and he's tired, and he says, you know, I'd like some lentils. So Yaakov Avinu says, okay, michra kayom b'bchorat chali, sell me your birthright today. And the Medrash on this comments, michra kayom amar lo zavim lo lichad yom min didach. Yaakov Avinu was asking Esav to sell him one of his days. What does this mean? So we know in 10b that when Yaakov Avinu said the Medrash, and obviously it's conceptual, though when Yaakov Avinu and Esav were in the womb, they were arguing over who was going to have this world, who was going to have the next world. Hence, there was a lot of arguing going on. And they divided it up. Yaakov Avinu was going to have the next world, Esav was going to have this world. And Yaakov Avinu would only sustain himself on this world for whatever he needed for the next world. At that point, Yaakov Avinu understood, well, then we have a problem here about Shabbos. Because Shabbos is all about enjoyment, physical, kavod Shabbos, oneg Shabbos. So here he felt he had the opportunity to ask Esav, sell me one of your days, sell me Shabbos, so that Shabbos can become mine, that I can be able to indulge and be able to be involved in the pleasures of the day. Hence he requested of Esav, sell me one of your days, referring to the Bechor, the most important of the week, thus able to indulge in food and drink on Shabbos to fulfill the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. He says, Bichra Kayom, the word Kayom, like today, can be interpreted as an abbreviation of Kulam Yispu Vis Angu Mituvecha. They will all be satiated, Kaf Vav, Kaf Yod, Kulam Yispu Vis Angu Mituvecha, Vav Mem, Kayom. They will all be satiated and derive pleasure from your goodness. In other words, the purpose of this transaction was to enable Yisrael to enjoy the wealth and pleasures of Olam Hazeh on the day of Shabbos. And indeed we know, Kol Misanek at the Shabbos, Notim Lo Nachala B'li Mitzari. Anyone who delights in the Shabbos is rewarded with a portion without boundaries. And it's referred to as Nachlas Yaakov Avicha. This is the portion of Yaakov. Yaakov enabled us through the acquisition of this day to be involved in the physicality of this world, to be able, therefore, to enjoy it, and thereby bring blessing not only to this day, but to the entire week. And indeed, Kavod Shabbos is an acronym of Kol Brochim de La'ela V'Lutata B'Yom HaShvi Tzalyan, source 14, all heavenly and earthly blessings depend on the seventh day. Now we can appreciate at the end of 14 and 15 that when Yaakov Avinu comes in to get the blessing from Yitzchak Avinu, he's able to get the bracha of Yitzchak Lecha Elokim Mital Shamayim Umishmanei Aretz, the blessing of physical wealth. Well, hold on a second, isn't the blessing of physical wealth conditional to this physical world? Yes and no. It's conditioned to the physical world, but understand that the blessing of sustenance and bounty is really the blessing of Shabbos. Once you have the bracha on Shabbos, it automatically then goes for the entire week. So when Yaakov Avinu acquires this day of Shabbos, in a real respect, he's acquired all physical pleasures of this world, and hence can get that bracha from Yitzchak of the physicality of this world, because the physicality of this world, the bracha, v'yitin l'cha lokim, is really the bracha of Shabbos. And that ties into what we've spoken about before, and I'm just adding this parenthetically, that when Yaakov Avinu comes in to get the bracha, v'yarech lo reich begadav, he smelt his clothes, and he said, that Yitzchak Avinu says that, nichnasimo reich gan eten, he smelled the clothes of gan eten. And Chazal comment that the orchard, the apple orchard, the chikil tapuchim, entered in with him. And hence, it was that apple orchard, that smell of Gan Eden that entered in with him that, you know, encouraged or was the thing that allowed Yitzchak Avinu, was the impetus to allow Yitzchak Avinu to bless him. And hence, we have this idea that on Friday night, it's an old Minhag Yisrael, that we eat apples, it can be cooked apples or regular apples, and the apples remind us of Yaakov Avinu, who smelled like the Gan Eden, the orchard of apples, who came in. And when he came in, he got the blessing of Parnassa, of sustenance. But now it makes even more sense, because the whole idea of Shabbos is the idea of bracha. The lechem hamishnah, the bread that we eat, the apples that remind us of this bracha, are all mediums to enable us to have something physical in order for the blessing of the week to come down. And hence, eating apples on Friday night, you see a lot of families, old-time families, have kompot on Friday night. Where did that come from? It came from this idea that Minhag Yisrael Tarahu, that there is this idea of eating apples on Friday night, is a skula for parnassah. It's brought down in the Sfarim. And as I've mentioned before, that when I read this, I started eating apples on Friday night, and my children thought that I was a little bit, grabbing at any skula. I said, you know what, if it's written in the good book, it makes sense to me. And I got a double raise in my salary without even asking a few months later. And since then, my kids have been eating apples too, yes. So now, he explains In 50, we have gained a better understanding of the avodah of the lechem upon him. Hashem commanded the 12 loaves of bread be arranged on the shulchan in the Beis HaMikdash at every Shabbos Kodesh as a means of extending an abundant livelihood to the entire world. As we have learned, Shabbos Kodesh is the legitimate portion of Yaakov Avinu. In the merit of Shabbos, he received the brachos of Olam Haza. Therefore, when his children, the 12 Shvatim Yisrael, follow in the footsteps and delight in the Shabbos, they also merit the heritage without boundaries. This explains very nicely why Hashem commanded us to prepare 12 loaves of bread corresponding to 12 Shvatim. We can now appreciate why Hashem commanded 12 loaves be divided into two. The Shema Yisrael on one side, the Baruch Shem on the other. By observing the Shabbos properly, and by believing in the oneness of Hashem, the bond between Yaakov Avinu's offspring, the people of Israel, is strengthened. In this merit, they receive the heritage without borders. So here it is, a take-home lesson. When we recite the Bracha Vamotzi on Lechem Mishneh, each of the three meals on Shabbos Kodesh, it's incumbent upon us to remember that each of the two loaves is shaped like a vav. Thus they allude to 12 loaves of lechem apanim, that the Kohanim arranged in the Beis HaMikdash and the Shulchan every Shabbos. Abundant goodness extends from them to all the days of the week, both materially and spiritually, in the merit of Shabbos Kodesh, the portion of Yaakov Avinu. And indeed, the Berachayim, so the brand new Sefer, came out right before Purim, on the Zmirus of Shabbos, and has a few essays on Shabbos as well. Very, very sweet Sefer. One of my students got for me. And on this pasuk that we get from Yeshaya, we get bounty without boundary. The Chasam Sofer explains, Shaydei HaShabbos Zocha Shiyeh Kol Yemei HaShavua Kodesh. In the merit of Shabbos, says the Chasam Sofer, the entire week is holy. Mibli Yafseik, without blockage. Without any stopping, they will never end from you having the Kedusha of Shabbos. You're not only bringing Parnassa, you're bringing holiness into the week. And that explains our Pasuk. That this should constantly be put in front of Hashem as a Bris Olam, as a covenant forever. So at the Dan in 16b, Shiyet Tamid Bechina Shabbos. There will always be a Bechina of Shabbos, an aspect of Shabbos the entire week. Va'od Yeh Bris Olam, Shekol Olam Yizum B'Zchut Shomrei Shabbos, Adkan L'Shona. And all the world will be sustained by those who keep the Shabbos. This is the Brit Olam. This is the power. And he says, the Shemin Atof, he says, Halavai. Halavai, we should be able to tap into some of that holiness, some of that kedusha, some of that understanding that we're opening up the channels, the pathways, when we prepare and we eat our lechem mishneh on Shabbos, echoing this bris olam, echoing this covenant forever. Of the lechem apanim, which was the channel of parnasa for the whole world. With this, we can appreciate what was the problem of the Makalo, source 18. The Makalo took one look at the laws of lechem apanim and said, "How could you believe that Hashem is behind you, giving you the sustenance based on the merit of the lechem apanim, if the loaves you are placing there are allowed to become stale? This is ludicrous. There must not be a correlation between the lechem upon him and our sustenance. His blasphemy was a denial of Hashem's involvement in our sustenance." The Gemara teaching of the Kala was wrong. One of the supernatural phenomena of Mishkan was that lechem upon him remained fresh and warm throughout the week and removed from the shulchan exactly the same condition as it went on. The same is true for our parnasa. Hashem is constantly taking care of our needs and providing us with sustenance, even if we don't see the supernatural ways in which he would provide for us. Makala wasn't doubting Hashem's existence. He was saying that Hashem doesn't involve himself in mundane things such as our parnasa. So what's going on here is something much deeper. What was bothering the Makala? He was saying, how can it be that something that's going to grow stale has the ability to be the fountain, the medium to bring down the parnasa? It can't be. I understand that Hashem is up there in heaven, but He's not continually watching over us down here over the extended period of time and providing for us at all times. And that's why He was punished so severely, so that the people should learn this lesson. Yes, Hashem provides for us. Yes, Hashem gives each and every person exactly what they need. I was having this discussion with someone this week. We were talking about what else? What's going on now? We were talking about, it's getting a little boring, isn't it? Yeah. And we were talking about the financial challenges that people are under. Like, you know, job security, which people had until now, suddenly has just, you know, literally been like the rug pulled out underneath you. And like people are just scrambling to try to find where to bring down sustenance. So this person said to me, you know, Shira, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided on Rosh Hashanah how much money we're going to have, and that's exactly how much money we have, except for Hotzos, Shabbos, and Yontif. Certain things which, you know, you add more, Hashem will pay you back more. There is a system here. This isn't random. We're getting exactly what we need. Rabbosai, I just want to take this idea that the lechem, the two breads that we have, the lechem mishnah that we have on our table, which is reflecting those six and six, the two sides, the Shema Yisrael, the Baruch Shem, that relationship with Yaakov Avinu, to bring down from that connection of Yaakov Avinu, that channel of blessing. I want to take this one step deeper, again for our lives, and then we'll look at the second level. The Zohar, source 19, Rav Pinkas Shabbos, Kodesh, Rav Pinkas Hatzal, the Zohar we quoted above, teaches us that someone's emunah should be aware of Hashem when He's bestowing His plenty. And this is on Shabbos Kodesh, when Hashem grants the blessing for the whole week. There has to be an awareness that now the channels are open. We all understand that money doesn't come from the bank or from work. It comes from Hashem. Similarly, we should understand that our parnasa comes to us only through the plenty bestowed on Shabbos Kodesh. Where does our parnasa come from? Where does our shefa come from? It comes from the kedusha of Shabbos. It comes from the way we invest in Shabbos. Shabbos is the only time, so to speak, the bank is open. It's closed all week. We should grab hold of the of Hashem, so to speak, at the moment He's bestowing all the blessings. When is this? At the Shabbos meal. This is when we have the golden opportunity to receive everything good from the source of all blessings. You know, it's interesting. As I mentioned, I tape an Erev Shabbos. Great time to tape. So I usually, when I make challah, I usually make it an Erev Shabbos. There's an Indian to make it an Erev Shabbos. To pack in the chen of Adam Arishon. Good. So yesterday, after finishing the shiur, and I was really wiped, I went and made challah. And my daughter said to me, "Ima, it's Thursday, why are you making challah?" I said, "I can't hold myself back. When you see how powerful what the lechem, you know, this lechem mishnah is, when you see how powerful that this bread brings down the parnasa, brings down the shefa brach of the whole week, I couldn't wait. I made challah yesterday. Okay, maybe I shouldn't have. But there's an excitement here. Like, this isn't just making challah. This is bringing down. Wow. However, as we mentioned, it's really contingent on mindset. And we have to have that mindset on Shabbos. So let's briefly talk about, very briefly, what this mindset is. We've done it before. Rav Chaim Friedler is ourselves, Siftei Chaim. Ki sheshet yomim, source 20. Asa Hashem et ha-shamayim v'et ha-aretz et ha-yam v'kol shebam. Hashem created the world, the earth, heaven and earth. It wasn't a one-time thing that Hashem created the world. It's continuous. Hashem is Bore Ha'olam. He is present, the creator of the world. And He's Gama Mekaymo B'Chorega Mechadash. And He enables the world to survive at every moment. As the Nefesh HaChayim says, Kamo Be'i Briyat Ha'olamos Kulam Kei Ma'az Kol Yom V'Chorega Mamash. Every day, every moment, Hashem is enabling this world to exist. Shui barach mashpia bahem, in the bracket, birtsanoi barach kol rega koch v'shivat or chadash. Hashem, every single millisecond, is investing newness into what we are doing. And the model that He gives is the creation is like an axe in the hands of a woodchopper. The axe is not the one that's functioning, it's a woodchopper. We think we're going through the motions and we are chopping the wood. We are no better than that axe, when really the only thing that is really holding it is the woodchopper, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo uva'atzmo. And that is why, HaNisayon la'adam 21, Hui mitgaber l'aster, our challenge is, can we overcome that hiddenness and realize that we are the ones who are only the axe? Yedav yakir ta'amet HaKadosh Baruch Hu shasa oseh v'yaseh takol. Why am I at Zoda, lovely scroll, Shanim Liharif? Why am I working? Because Adam Rishon was cursed that with the sweat of your brow, you're going to have to make a parnassah. So that's why I work. But really, the money comes from God, doesn't come from me. I have to do my part. And that's why he says, when Shabbos comes, you should feel like right, as if all your work was done. Ah, I didn't finish my work. Well, you're missing the boat here. All your work is to try. So when Shabbos comes, you finish trying. That's all you can do. That's what Shabbos brings. Hakarash al Shabbat hi lavin shekadosh baruch hu bara talam, and he continues to create it. That's the emuna of Shabbos. We say it in Kiddush on Friday night that Hashem is the creator of heaven and earth. Understand, what does that mean? Right before you say that mostly, Hashem is the creator. He is the sustainer. He gives you exactly what you need. Ah, you need to go out and work. Yes, that's what you need to do. You need to do your shtadlut. And again, how much effort you need to put in, that's a whole separate idea. But whatever effort we need to put in to bring down the blessing from above, understanding the whole while, and that's what Shabbos reminds us of, that Hashem is the one who's in charge. He worked, so to speak, for 6 days and rested on Shabbos, and he continues to be involved in this process. And that is why, my friends, all the bracha, a Shabbos Yishor, Shabracha, the Dad in 22, V'ichalu mitpashet erakol sheshet hayomim. When I understand that Hashem is in charge, when I end the emunah of Shabbos, and that's what Shabbos is about, Shabbos is work on my emunah, when I have that clarity of understanding and faith that Hashem is in charge, then I have therefore opened up the conduit that Hashem now can bless the entire week. And this is why, when we say at the end of Shabbos, Mizmor LeDavid, Hashem Ro'i Lo Echsar, the Sfarim say it also after Maariv on Friday night, when I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is HaRo'eh Sheli, he is my shepherd, Lo Echsar, I'm not going to be lacking anything. And in that schus, in that recognition, that I know that Hashem Ro'i Lo Echsar, then Binos Deshi, Yarbi Tzenem, Meminuchos, Yina Aleni, then Hashem will give me those golden pastures, those green grasses. Yismechu b'machuscha, Shomrei Shabbos. Our job is to be yismechu b'machuscha, to rejoice in Hashem's kingship, to recognize that He is the one who gives us this bounty, and then we open ourselves up to be this conduit. So, my friends, idea number one, we are developing the Netziv. What's this brit olam, this continuous covenant? It's that Hashem, throughout the ages, in the schus of the shtel, in the schus of the lechem apanim, in the schus of the shobret, He is going to, and the schus of Shabbos, He is going to bring us the channel of parnasa, the channel of sustenance. When we sit down to eat our challah on Shabbos, what we are really doing is immersing in that connection, that emunah, the Shema Yisrael, the Baruch Shem, those two sides of the challah, that emunah, the Shema Yisrael, I know there's none other than Hashem, Baruch Shem, the Shiro of the Malachim. When we are able to extol Hashem that way, we have connected to that level of emunah, we've drawn down HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kivyachol's presence of bracha, and that bracha then expands nachla bli mitzarim, without boundaries, for the entire week. And that is something we have to think about when we say hamotzi. Think about when we put the challah cover on, say shulchan lifnei Hashem. I recognize the challah cover covering that challah. Bracha is samui min ha'ayin, blessing is something hidden from the eye. Therefore, the challah is covered. And people say you should even cover it for Shal Shudas, even when they don't have Kiddush, because you want that bracha for the whole week to be samui min ha'ayin, to be concealed, so that blessing can flow for the entire week. That, my friends, is level number one. Level number two, and that's what the Mikalo couldn't understand, that how could that be a fountain of blessing? How could it be so involved? Level number two is to understand, based on reverse, this Brit Olam, this covenant, is about relationship. So let's begin with Rav Rice, source 24. He said, as we spoke about, they would bring out the bread to show the people who made the pilgrimage, and the Kohanim would say, Re'u chibatchem lifnei amakom, look how beloved you are in front of Hashem. And the obvious question is, well, why did Hashem do this miracle? And he says in the double underline 24, Kol kulo no'ad lahadgish la'am Yisrael ma'reba chibavotam etz lovim shoshamayim. It was only purely about to show Klal Yisrael the love. How Hashem is continuously bestowing love and attention to us. And the Beis Yisrael explains in 25, this is why we have, again, our question, 6 and 6, and he explains that Romzim in the bracket, L'shtei Arichot Makbilot, it reflects two different systems going on. L'aricha mitbatsa mitzad ha'adam kamor la'adam archelev, it's our relationship, kivyachol, to Hashem. U'makbil la'agam ha'kadosh baruch hu marechi bato klapav v'arech lufanav shulchan. And then it's kivyachol Hashem's response, mirroring one to the other. The other six half is a reflection that our service of Hashem is so beloved. And Hashem responds with that love. So this is what the Lechem HaPanim was all about. It was a reflection of Hashem Kivyachol's love to us. And this is why it was reflected in the fact in Source 26 that the bread didn't become stale. Nature is that you leave bread out, try it, my friends, hot place, it's going to mold. But in 9 days, not only does it mold, it stays fresh. That's our gift to Hashem, and this is His response. We say to Hashem, we always want to be fresh. We don't want to be left in a world of teva, in a world of nature, and that our asiyas hamitzvos are doing, our mitzvos are going to be habitual. We want to connect with you. We want to have that passion, what we spoke about last week, the v'chai b'hem. We want to show you that our lives are about continually finding ways to be enthusiastic and passionate in our service to God. To which Hashem responds and reflects back and says, this is my way of showing and accepting your service by showing you that the bread doesn't become stale, that I appreciate there is a dynamic in this relationship. Now, my friends, we can appreciate what was the problem of the Makala. Says in Source 28, Reb Chanoch Alexander Tzatzal, Shotaro Shalom Shikir. This fellow, this Makalel, this person who cursed, wasn't lying. He took a look at that bread. He didn't see it fresh. He didn't see the steam coming out. Hu bemet lo chash b'chamimut alechem. He didn't experience it as hot. Chamimut alechem haray lo hayta tivit el misit. Keep in mind that naturally there was no way that this could become alive and fresh. It was miraculous. Ve'kivan shekein tzarich haya lizkot lechzot b'neisdeh. You had to be worthy to see this miracle. And when Klal Yisrael were on the Shlosh Megalim, they reached that level where indeed they were able to see this. And he goes on by saying that Imri Emes says, and this is the key in the dot, Hu haya kar v'lachin kar chash b'krivut b'lechem. His relationship to Hashem was cold. He didn't understand so much of Yiddishkeit. He went out of his camp and he cursed. And whenever this estrangement was about, we've discussed, I'm not going to get into it now, you can learn. When he felt estranged, that Machane Dan didn't allow him to settle there, he didn't feel part of Klal Yisrael because his father was not Jewish. All of this estrangement, when he turned to God, he felt estranged. And therefore, it wasn't any wonder that when he looked at this bread, he looked at it at the way he looked at his religious life, cold, distant. And of course, it looks stale. Only when somebody has this, we spoke about the Kamayim Lapanim, it's that Lechem Lapanim, it's the face. The face is a reflection of our face. Six on this side, six on this side. The Lechem Lapanim, the bread of faces. The bread that reflects one face to another. If your face is cold, so the reflection you're going to get back is cold. And then, he cursed. He didn't understand it. It was this frustration. And indeed, as Rav Reis continues in 29, you know, the David HaMelech tells us, Kapitel Yotet, Hashemayim Misabrim Kvodkel, the heavens speak out the glory of Hashem. Umaseh Yadav Magid HaRakia, and the handiwork is seen from the heavens. How many of us go outside and we hear that Hashem, the glory of Hashem coming from the heavens? How many of us hear that Yiranenu Kolat Seyar, that the trees are singing Shira to Hashem? How many of us hear the Perek Shira of the entire creation around us? You know what, my friends? We don't hear it. Ah, does that mean it's not there? No. It means we're not attuned. It means we're not tapped in. So when we're talking about the Lechem upon him, it was there. He wasn't tuned in. You know, it's like he describes it, like certain frequency waves. That, you know, they're like dogs can hear it on higher frequency waves than people can. This is true of spirituality as well. There are different frequency waves that we can able to take in different aspects in life. There are spiritual frequency waves, like every day there's a bat call that comes out from Har Sinai, Oy lo bona shel Torah, woe to the shame of Torah. How many of us hear it? And the Sfarim say that if you have these hihurei tshuva, if suddenly you say, wow, I really want to be a better person, your ears picked up on that voice from Har Sinai. We have the ability to tap into it. It's about working on ourselves. It's about creating ourselves. And this brings us to near Uziah, of Uziah Malevsky, 31. He says so beautifully. In any context, blessing is associated with closeness, with intense care, and with a warmth in the heart. A curse, on the other hand, is associated with distance, with indifference, and coolness. One person can curse another only when there's a gap between them, when one feels indifference for the other in his heart. Likewise, when a person curses Hashem lo aleinu, it bespeaks a great chasm between himself and the Almighty. The literal meaning of lechem apanim, the Hebrew term for showbread, is face bread. The sides of these rectangular loaves were bent up and turned to face each other, hence the name lechem apanim. Ramban, however, in the bracket in 31, however, points out that the word panim is etymologically similar to panim, which means inside. The outward appearance of a person's face reveals all that transpires within. It's possible to discover everything about the inner workings of a person's mind and heart from his face. Like the face, the lechem apanim too had the power to reveal inner spiritual workings of the Kohanim who ate it. If the showbread brought a smile to the Kohen's face and enjoyment to his heart, one could tell that inside his spiritual aspirations held pride of place. But if all he tasted, in the lechem apanim was 9-day-old bread, it was a sign that a spiritual level was lacking. When he ridiculed the law of the showbread, the Jew without a tribe denied it was possible for a Kohen to take such delight in the spiritual element of the bread that he wouldn't even notice that it was not fresh. In short, he denied the reality of feeling a genuine closeness to Hashem. In short, this Jew, who had been ostracized by the men of Dan, and indeed by all of Hashem's people, felt alienated from Hashem as well. It was this chasm formed of his indifference and coolness toward everything spiritual that led him to blaspheme against Hashem. Rabosai, this, on the second level, what is, as Rav Hirsch was talking about, what's this bris olam, what's this covenant that's eternal? It's our relationship with Hashem that's eternal. And this relationship with Hashem, like Shabbos is a relationship with Hashem, this relationship with Hashem is very much conditional on our part in this relationship. Six breads on one side, six loaves, six on the other side. It's facing. It's an aspect of one face is able to reflect the other face. The lechem that was fresh, this fresh bread, was showing Hashem's love for us, and our response has to be our love to Hashem. Someone who doesn't have this love won't see the freshness in this bread. On this, I think, my friends, to bring it down to our lives, I think there are two upshots. One, in terms of technically what we see, and the second, more importantly perhaps, in terms of our Shabbos and our experience of Shabbos. Let's talk about with what we see. The first upshot in 32, שאדם רואה מה שהוא משתייך, ואדם גם מושפע ממה שהוא רואה. We see that which we are connected to, and we are influenced by what we see. Two people can be walking down the same street, and one notices something and one doesn't. Or two people can notice the very same thing, like a Rorschach test, and you can be able to see two different things. You know, it reminds me, we were looking for apartments for my daughter to live in, so a real estate agent took me to see an apartment. And it was a very nice apartment, Baruch Hashem. The one thing that bothered me is, as soon as you walked into the apartment, right across from the opening door was a washing sink. We know in Eretz Yisrael that they don't have sinks usually in the bathroom, or they also have a sink outside the bathroom, because there's an inyan of washing outside the bathroom. So, boom, right there, you had a sink. And I said to the real estate agent, what a crazy place to put a sink. Like, couldn't you have, like, designed it? I mean, I'm not an interior designer or an architect, but, you know, a little bit of sense. Like, couldn't you have designed it better? Okay, that is what it is. You know, you want to take it away, you can take it away. Do with it what you want. It's there. Fine. So then I show the apartment to my daughter. And the first thing she says is, Ima, do you see how special this apartment is? It has a sink as soon as you walk in. What a sign of Tara. What a sign of purity as soon as you walk in. I just couldn't help but laugh. Like, the very thing that would bother me about the apartment is exactly the thing that she fell in love with. That washing your hands is a sign of purity, a sign of holiness. Okay, if we say it is what it reflects within us, I'm going to leave that dot, dot, dot. I'm moving right along here. With this that we understand is what we see with where we're holding, and what we see impacts us as well. We understand that the Mikalo saw where he was holding, and we see where we are holding. But Drash Mordechai takes this one step deeper, and he says, not only do we see what we're holding, know that whatever we see is going to impact us. And that explains a Gval de Chiddush, where he explains in 32, you ever wonder why we are paying the price of the sin of Chet HaEgel, the sin of the golden calf, until this very day? Like, you know what? It happened. You know, when Moshe Rabbeinu went down, he broke the loopholes, he killed the 3,000 people, enough! Like, they've been punished! Like, why are we still suffering? Okay, many answers. The answer he brings here is very powerful. He says, all of Klal Yisrael saw the Chet HaEgel. Okay, they didn't participate in it, but they saw it. They experienced it on some level. And that affects a person. And that effect that it had on Klal Yisrael is what we are paying for until today. And know, he says in 34, that we know, Megalgalim Zchus Aydei Zakai V'Chov Aydei Chayav. When you see good things, it's a reflection that you are holding in a good place. When you see Averos, understand that this is a call for you as a mirror of how you can improve on your own life. Okay, so the first upshot is from this piece, is know that when he was unable to see this, it's not surprising. A person sees where they are holding, and since the entire lechem upon him was not really of a physical nature, it was of a spiritual nature, it was more miraculous, he was not holding in that area. And our job, so to speak, is to try to work ourselves up, that when we see things, we're able to see the spiritual aspect, we're able to see the Torah of the saint, to be able to have a spiritual lens to look at our lives. But I think perhaps the second upshot, which will be our final idea, final page for today, is even more crucial. And that is, where we are holding impacts our spirituality. What we are thinking impacts our relationship. The Lechem upon him was about Hashem's closeness. Either you tapped into it, or you didn't. It had nothing to do with Lechem upon him. It had to do with where you were at. Either the Kohen felt the freshness, or he didn't. Where are you holding? Either Klal Yisrael, the Aliyah L'Regel, saw the steam, or they didn't. It was a question of where they were holding spiritually. Which brings us to Rav Schwab, Mayan Beit HaShoeva, 36. He speaks about how he was once at the house of the Chavetz Chaim. Last week was the Torah story when he was at the house of Chavetz Chaim. Harshad Vayakal Pekudei Tav Reish Tzadik. And the Rosh Chaim said to the people sitting there, the man tasted differently according to what everyone thought. So now here's the question. If a person took a bite of man and wasn't thinking anything, what did it taste like? Right? If you thought of pizza, it was pizza. I didn't know if they had pizza in those days. You got the idea. What happens if you weren't thinking anything? Says the Chafetz Chaim. I'm doing the Hebrew of the Yiddish in the bracket. Bli machshava ein lo shum ta'am. Without thought, there is no taste. Here's the key. Shedavar ruchani mekabel ta'am lufi erech ha-machshava. Something spiritual gets its taste, its pleasure, based on your mindset. For example, you can have somebody sitting in front of the Torah and learning and not feel the sweetness of Torah. That's how we daven. Varevna Hashem Elokeinu. That it should be sweet for us. Something spiritual needs our mindset to invest in it. It's not going to happen on its own. Hence, notes of the Sefer Shalom Parsha B'Shalach. Shabbos is very much connected to man. The bracha of Shabbos, the kedusha of Shabbos, Rashi tells us, Vayvarech and Vaykadesh is Bircho B'man, Kitcho B'man. Why is Shabbos so connected to man? So he says, we know that man was dependent on what you were thinking. This bracha of your mindset, of what you were thinking, is what you tasted by the man. It's the same, says the Siva Shalom in the bracket in 37, by the Shabbos. If you look at Shabbos as a day to collapse and just sleep, it will day to collapse and sleep. One who wants to enjoy the Tanug of Torah and Tefillah will get that. One who wants to have spiritual highs will get that. Know that Shabbat Shekulam Yachol Yudi Lam Shir Kefi Kavanatover Tano. You create your Shabbat. You create your Shabbat experience. If you walk into Shabbat not having any expectations, not feeling anything, not opening yourself up to any Kedusha, then Shabbat is going to be one long, empty, boring day. If you walk into Shabbos and your Shabbos meal is at the Malachim, we say goodbye to the Malachim because by Kiddush we are alone with Hashem, and like the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and you at least try to have the mindset that I'm alone with Hashem, I'm in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, and my singing and my food, it takes on the table itself, it's that conduit of blessing. At least I try to put that mindset, Shal Shudit, slow songs, to connect with Hashem. To that extent, you're going to be able, Lechem HaPanim, to be able to feel and receive Hashem's blessing in return. Rafikis and Shabbos Kodesh, and it's a gewalt book, and I really recommend that if you want a book to help you tap into Shabbos, this is a safer to learn, and as I've mentioned many times, it's in Hebrew and in English. We're almost about finished. We have like 2 or 3 chapters left, and it's been taking us years. We learn one section, my daughter and I, Baruch Hashem, every Friday night after candlelight. And you look at the Shabbos different. The weekdays are part of this mundane world, which Hashem has filled with meaning through His Torah and mitzvot. Each day is a special mitzvot, special qualities and greatness. What about Shabbos? Its meaning is unlike that of other days. Shabbos' meaning is the very fact that it penetrates heaven. With ordinary weekdays, our job is to fill them with Kedusha. We set a time for Torah learning, etc. We involve ourselves in various mitzvahs. We know what to do. But when it comes to Shabbos, we're at a loss. Who knows how to climb this ladder? Shabbos is imbued with a power no other day has. Yet if we don't know what to do with it, we'll remain below, grounded in this mundane world. This is how Shabbos ends up being the emptiest day of the week. And he gives the following analogy. He says a person needs to eat whatever he is. So he goes on a trip, he packs a sandwich, a bottle of water. But if a person's home feels like eating, he starts searching his knapsack for a sandwich and water. We won't find them. The bag is empty. Why? Because the home is the source of all food. This is where all the sandwiches and waters come from. Here he has a fridge full of food. But if he doesn't realize he needs to open the fridge, he'll remain hungry. Every Jew, whether sitting in the base medrash or working for a living, is doing a mitzvah. A man was born for labor, so it's all week long. But this changes when Shabbos arrives. Since Shabbos is a day of rest, on this day there's a kedusha of a completely different level. On Shabbos we don't subsist on a sandwich, we don't live on what we pack with effort and careful planning. On Shabbos we're home, we're standing right at the source of it all. If a person knows where to look for kedusha on this day, if he knows how to access it, he can reach out to heaven. All the gates are open on this day, but if on Shabbos he tries to live as he does all week, he'll run into trouble. He won't find even a sandwich to eat, so to speak. he'll be completely empty-handed. We have to walk into Shabbos appreciating it. It's the time to send the Beit Midrash, to learn, to daven 41, the asterisk, say Tehillim, to do various other things that show appreciation and honor of Shabbos, not to engage in empty activities and sit around talking nonsense. That ruins the beauty of it all. We must guard the Kedusha of Shabbos, as the Kohanim guarded the Beit Hamikdash. And it's going to take mindset, it's going to take thought. How can you create your Shabbos? And again, starting off Shabbos with learning, instead of starting off Shabbos reading the newspaper, Lahavdil, or a secular book, having a Shabbos meal, saying L'chvot Shabbos Kodesh, making your favorite foods, because I have to go out to cook now, making your favorite foods for Shabbos, making different foods for Shabbos, having different Shabbos treats, making a parsha cake, doing activities, having special games for the kids on Shabbos, whatever it is, to create Shabbos to be of meaning. This is our challenge. Get a little bit of mindset before. Recognize when you enter into Shabbos, you're entering to Shabbos Island. Shabbos Island is dependent on how much you invest in Shabbos. Learn about Shabbos. Appreciate Shabbos. Understand that Shabbos isn't just an empty day. It's the highest of all days. And when we take that Lecha Mishnah, we take those challahs, and when we make the challahs, and when we say a bracha on the challahs, and when we eat the challahs, feel, this is as if this is the Bris Olam, this is the eternal covenant, this is what the Makalo could understand. And when you show that love to Hashem, thank you for that bounty, thank you for this connection, thank you for Shabbos, right? More than Jew keeps Shabbos, Shabbos keeps the Jew alive. When we thank Hashem, when we try to invest in Shabbos, just chew on that challah for a few minutes. Feel the man in the challah. Feel the bracha in the challah. We have already opened ourselves up to this positive connection, relationship with Hashem. And kamayim lamayim lapanim. Hashem will respond, will feel that closeness and that intensity and that kedusha of Shabbos, and indeed feel that blessing being filled over, spilled over, b'li mitzarim, without boundaries, for the entire week.